listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
I remember when it all started. Back in the day when me and Moms first parted. High tech from the beginning, I stayed advanced. A young chameleon, adapt to any circumstance. Peep game, nigga, never been a lazy nigga. Stayed on my hustle, concentrate to get my paper bigger. Stay focused while other cats stay hopeless. While niggas stay high, I stay lower. Stacking my chips to get a foreclosure. This shit ain't over. Going for the gusto, keep getting that provo. It's high tech and quality on the track like Flojo. I bet you ain't even know I had flow though. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're in the house on a Wednesday, a Walking Dead Wednesday.
Yes sir,
we are back.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the show, as always, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, search for us, leave us 5-star reviews if you like what we're talking about. And of course, the official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport
is bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme. And today's podcast is brought to you by Shadow Dog Productions. Shadow Dog Productions, the makers of fine handcrafted audio plays that Karen and I have starred in. And once again, I'll let you guys know you can find them on Amazon and iTunes. Just search Rod Morrow, that's my name, and it'll come up. And you know, listen to it, buy it, leave 5 stars if you're scared to buy it. If you want to test it out first, you know, you can stream it on Tidal and Spotify. It's right there. Put same thing, put my name in. The audio play albums are called The Best of Rod and Karen and Sunspot. Then the other one is called Sunspot and Other Ratchetness. So you can check both of those out and let us know what you think about it. All right, as far as what we're going to talk about today, it's The Walking Dead, guys. You guys know what it is. Feel like, you know, you should be familiar with the way we do these things. First thing first, though, they got some Walking Dead news.
Okay.
The Walking Dead Season 7 will not end on a cliffhanger.
No shit.
Scott Gimple has spoken out to assure fans they won't be left with the same sort of irritating end they had to deal with when Season 6 wrapped. Now, I just got to say, they have come full circle on this. Because first they did it, and it was, we like the reaction, we like what fans are saying. Then it was, oh, they mad, but it's fine, they gonna come back. Then it was, maybe we should cut down on some of the violence. Maybe we need to do this and that and the other. And now we've come full, like, listen, guys, we promise we won't do it again.
Some of they've been not watching them ratings drop.
Yep. And this week, you know, another 10 million, you know, not terrible by any means. Mm-hmm. But not, you know, they started the season with 17 million the first day. Mm-hmm. And it just continued to fall off after that. Last season, the average was between 12 and 13 million. So, I mean, this is a precipitous drop, and it's long term now. You know, ever since Swear, which was like episode 6 of this season, 10, 10, 10, 12, when they came back for the break, 10, 11, then 10, 10, 10, 10. You know, like, this is tough. This is tough.
And I think several things played a factor. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, I think that people watch this show for various different reasons. And I think Glenn was a very, very beloved character. So I think that them killing Glenn affected a lot of people. In my opinion, I think that like I said, that to me was the biggest factor. Also, I think the way they didn't kill Glenn was a problem for some people too. And also, I think, in my opinion, this season more than previous, you have a lot of filler episodes. And some people ain't there for it. And you have some people that just flat quit watching the show. Like, it's for various other different reasons. Some people just, like you say, because of the way the show is and the concept of the show, a lot of people, they watch shows and they want some form of hope. And you're not going to get this from this show. And I think that turns a lot of people off too.
Well, it's also been 7 years.
Right, which is a very long time.
You know, 7 seasons. I get why people might be just falling off anyway. But what I was going to say is, people have accused the show of having filler before in the past. And I think, in my opinion, this show has had less filler than people say.
Right.
Because I think sometimes people call narrative story choices filler when it's actually not filler. Okay. Like when it's Morgan's whole backstory, that's not a filler episode to me. That mm-hmm. filled me in on a lot of things that I wondered about that dude and questions that I had, and it informed me on why this character had this dogmatic approach to the Z-Pac for the rest of the show, right? I don't mind that kind of stuff. Mm-mm. But some of these things, you know, I don't see how they're adding to the narrative, and maybe it's, you know, the season's not over. Maybe at some point we're going to get that, but while I love the swirly romance of Rick and Michonne, that episode didn't really do much because, yes, you get the guns. The Junkticons are like, it's not enough guns. So it's almost like that episode happened almost for nothing. Like,
right.
It does, I mean, now keep in mind, it does move some things forward. But I just feel like you could have moved it forward faster. Like,
correct.
Rosita gets pissed at the fact that they got a lot of guns and they're still not going to attack, which leads to her being like, I'm going to do the shit myself. Fuck y'all. It does move some things forward. It just moves things that I think could take a short period of time move. It takes a long time to do those things. Mm-hmm. So I think that does matter. But, I don't know that the season finale is the big problem. I think they are buying into that, but here's my personal opinion. The season finale was, no offense to all the people that probably don't like it, it was the only thing that worked. People got irritated, but guess what? 17 million people showed up to see what you were gonna do.
Yes, they did.
And in my opinion, you dropped the ball.
Yep.
You know, you stretched out, like you stopped the pacing. Like, as much as people complain, last season was a breakneck pace. Mm-hmm. You know, it was Terminus. It was that big ass colony of fucking walkers or whatever had to deal with. It was the wolves. Then it was the saviors. All in one season.
Right.
It feels like we're in a rut now. Mm-hmm. We've been dealing with the same problem for 16 episodes. It feels slow. You know what I mean? Like, no offense, but it feels slow. It feels different than other seasons, in my opinion. And they only have 2 episodes left, and it feels like they're stretching it out. You know, maybe they don't have Jeffrey Dean Morgan that much.
I think they have
to film around his schedule. I don't know.
I think that, in my personal opinion, I think that plays a big factor. I think that my prediction, quote unquote, we're going to end it with them going, hey, let's go to war. Or either we're going to end it at the beginning of the war, and then it's going to break.
Well, all right. Scott Gimple said, I just think it is everything in the kitchen sink. It's exciting and very emotional. I believe it's funny in a couple parts, and it builds and builds and builds and explodes. And though it promises more because there's a whole lot to get to, there's an ending. It really is just a huge episode in as much as it has all the flavors of the season. It is taking your cup and going down each soda jet and taking a little bit from each one and then throwing in some hot sauce, a little bit of lime, and then maybe a tiny bit of tequila as well.
And my thing is, and maybe it's just me, and because I've seen big movie studios do this, sometimes it's best to be quiet and put your product out. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, when you try to talk in front of it, it makes me begin to question your product. Mm-hmm. Like, do you trust and do you believe in your shit? Why is we coming out and trying to explain beforehand?
Mm-hmm. I mean, they do this every season, though. People start asking about the finale. But yes, I think his comments are very much like, we promise it won't be as bad as last time. And that's like,
if you've lost those fans, don't try to go back and get those fans. You might as well give it up and cater to your core, because if you turn the core people out off, those numbers will drop even more. If the core people, the people that either just like the show for what it is, or the people that have read the comics and have just been enjoying your version of the comics, you know, quote unquote live action comics to people. So the people that are gone, fuck them people. They ain't coming back.
Well, some of the people, I think also, because we normally get the live numbers, some of the people are watching, they're just not, it's not a priority like it was.
Right.
You know, although I'm a little curious that, even with Into the Badlands coming back, you know, it didn't elevate the ratings for Walking Dead, because I mean, it gets less viewers than Walking Dead, but there's not even like a crossover there, really. All right, so let's get into recapping this episode. I'm not even gonna do fucking with black people today. I honestly don't feel like it. That's right. Season 7 of The Walking Dead, episode 14. It's called The Other Side. It's called The Other Side. I guess the primary thing of this episode is it's about Hilltop and the inner workings of Hilltop and what's going on there. The Saviors come to visit unexpectedly. And it's also about Sasha and Rosita, who last time we saw them, they did the Arnold Schwarzenegger Predator dap and was like, let's go, bro. And they're like, we're gonna go kill Negan by ourselves. It's about their plan too. And it brings together some elements from the other episodes as well. Karen, what'd you think about The Other Side overall?
I enjoyed it. I loved it. I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, I really liked this episode as well. So that's two in a row for them that I really liked. Which is good. I mean, if they keep it up for just two more episodes, that's a pretty strong finish. Four episodes in a row that I like. I hope they do it, you know, to be honest. I hope they've gotten some of the building of this world and their problems out of the way, and now we can get to just tackling the problems.
No more building.
At any rate, we will break it down scene by scene and add our commentary, guys. So it opens up with a montage of Hilltop, and in the Hilltop they are training. Okay, they are straight up trying to
information.
Like they are trying to make sure that everybody is gonna be up in there killing.
Everybody ready.
They holding classes.
Seminars.
Maggie is leading. Sasha's drawing a map of the Saviors compound. They are practicing knife throwing because they don't have guns, because all their guns got taken by the Saviors.
Correct.
And they were teaching classes such as knife throwing 101.
Yes!
Introduction to stabbing and metalwork.
Yes, they was. Mm-hmm. They was teaching how to slice a throat 200.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for an hourly wage. I went ahead. Didn't do great. Still I gotta make more cash. More education is what I'm looking at. When I get a degree, I will make a bigger salary. So now I've got to see college is right for me. I went to the internet and found Education Connection. I took some free tests to find out my direction. I'm taking my classes online, getting my degree on my own time. Education Connection matched me with the right college for free.
Get connected for free.
Free with Education Connection.
Get connected for free. That is how
everybody was signed up for class with them free classes. You know, like, all them college courses.
I think I seen Sasha teaching Zumba. It was a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot.
There's one more staff. Come on, ladies. Maggie got an ultrasound from Dr. Carson. Enid seemed to be taking care of Maggie, making sure she was eating, being there for her ultrasound, which low key, Enid has come such a long way.
You know what? Yeah, now I will give them credit for the way that they've developed and grown that particular character, because I did not like her at first. I really didn't like that character. I thought a lot of different things about her. I thought that she was with the wolves. I thought that, I just thought all types of shit about her, and they did a very, very good job of going back and telling her backstory and filling in the blanks. You know, I know it was short, but the little thing with her parents and, you know, little initials she was carving. So they filled in a lot of holes. And now to get off topic, those are the, now that stuff, I, like we said before, I don't mind that quote unquote filler. And it's not really filler, because you're actually moving the storyline along. Because sometimes I think the story that people say they want, they don't want. Because if we actually, if they didn't give us that background about her right now, it wouldn't mean this much.
Well, you know, one of the things I think is, even with Enid, that was in an episode where maybe 10 minutes of the total runtime was dedicated to Enid's backstory. You know, because they were cutting it in, like, it, like, throughout, I think that was the, what was it, Just Survive Somehow? Mm-hmm. JSS was the episode. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that was a perfect example of using a montage to tell a lot of story in a short period of time.
Right.
And also cutting in and out of a different story with her at the same time. Here's what I'm reminded of. A lot of y'all thought she was a wolf.
I did.
Right. And then after that, it was, well, maybe she's working with the saviors.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people always have thought she was, like, shifty and couldn't trust her.
I did.
And I feel like they have totally acquitted that character at this point. Like,
they did a great job.
Yeah. I don't think anybody thinks, I mean, maybe somebody will, but no one's written in a long time thinking Enid's some sort of a snitch or something.
Yeah. She messed around and became, her armor bearer. She like, I go where you go.
Yeah, she's just a young, and then I think Glenn reached her.
Yes, he did.
With his infinite, impossible white woman love. And
yeah, deep inside his soul.
And he saved, he made her care about people and care about the group, and now she doesn't want to leave the side of Maggie at this point, and that's beautiful.
Somebody said she like Podrick.
Podrick for Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Well, Maggie is a warrior.
Come on.
So Sasha is showing the montage. She's going to Abe's grave every day.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus gave her a map of the outside of the compound while Maggie was sleeping, and Enid saw it. So now they have a map of, she now, because she was trying to draw a map of what the Savior's compound must have looked like, and she couldn't figure it out, but then Jesus gave her the map. So now she knows, which, you know, low key, Hilltop full of these women that are leading, getting information, trying to battle back against Negan, you know?
Yeah, and do shit. And it was one of those things when I saw him give her that map, I was like, oh, he knows. Like, mm-hmm. He figured out what she was drawing. It was like, oh, I just filled it out for you. Here you go.
Yeah, and then only an incompetent white man stands in their way. You know, Gregory. Fucking everything up. But other than that, you know, the ladies are gearing up. So
all the credit, none of the work.
Yep. And so Maggie also, during this montage, comforts Daryl, who's sitting outside late at night. Mm-hmm. And barely looks up, and then she walks away and starts crying a little bit.
Yeah, because she had before to
drying
her,
yeah, drying her face off and walking back into Jesus's manger, I mean trailer. And my thing, I got mad at Daryl, because I was like, couldn't you have moped in the fucking kingdom? What are you even here for? Like, you're not being helpful. You're not teaching anybody anything. You're just hanging around.
Yeah, he shouldn't have been there, in my opinion.
You know, like, if you came here to be close to Maggie, the least you could do is look in her motherfucking face.
Come on, dog.
And then the opening montage ends with Rosita coming to Sasha to ask her for help. So we basically discovered this montage is filling us in on the whole flashback of what's been happening at Hilltop since, you know, we saw them the last time. And let me tell you something. That's more of that. I want
right, that was brilliant.
I feel like they probably kicked around the idea of making the little bit of shit they show right there a whole episode. You know what I mean? Like, let's show everyone training, and Gregory's being a dick about people learning to fight, and you know, and Daryl and Maggie, are they get, yeah. They're having problems, and they could have stretched that out to a whole episode. Instead, it was about 8 minutes, even less probably, of stuff. And then boom, Rosita shows up and we're like, oh cool, I remember where we left off.
Mm-hmm. I think it was brilliant, and I think that the love fest that Rick and Michonne, not trying to funny, you could have took that and chopped that up and did the same thing with it and gave us more storyline of something else, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's just interesting because they can do it when they want to, is my point.
Right.
Like, we don't need all that shit, to be honest, you know? So, alright, so then they do that, and Jesus, when we come back, is talking to Maggie, talking about how he grew up in a group home with 12 disciples and a prostitute and stuff, and he now feels that he belongs
around with the thieves,
and lepers and stuff, and he now feels that he belongs in Hilltop because Sasha and Maggie came and joined, and they showed him how to join Hilltop, because before, part of the storyline was that Jesus is always on the go, he's always out recruiting and scavenging, and people were feeling like, dude, you should be the leader here, but you're never around. And something about seeing Sasha and Maggie come there and fit in taught him that this is his home and he needs to learn to fit in. Now, I like all this backstory with Paul / Jesus. Like,
me too.
And it is character development. I don't think it needed to take as long, but it is great character development. And they fleshed him out more than in the comics, in my opinion.
Yes, they did.
Like, oh, that's why Jesus is so flighty. He grew up in a fucking group home. He's not used to this, like, stability and staying in one place. Mm-hmm. That's why he's a loner. That's why he's never been the leader, because it was obvious he should be. He's the most capable person. Mm-hmm. And just in that period of time, he brings that up. And I believe at this time, he also tells Maggie that he hints that he's gay. He was like, you know, something about having a boyfriend.
Correct.
And Maggie just has a look on her face, like a annoying look, I guess, that he must be gay because he said the word boyfriend, and then he kind of looks down and smiles, and just, you could just tell from the music change in the show that it was obvious he was gay. I was like, that is an odd musical choice for this episode, but I'll allow it. I understand.
Yeah, I'd rather wear a toga, a robe.
So then you can see Sasha, who is listening to this conversation between Maggie and Jesus, and has this crazy look on her face because she probably just talked to Rosita. She's looking for her. She got a gun now. Rosita gave her a gun. We remember that from the last time they met. So we know she's thinking about dipping.
Right, and she was actually around the corner kind of listening into their conversation, so I think her hearing that kind of got to, I was like, she might, because the look on her face was like, shit, she might back out of this shit.
What you mean?
When Maggie and Jesus was talking, and Jesus was talking about, you know, about how he felt about community, how, you know, they changed him, da 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 da, she was around the corner listening, and you could tell it kind of got to her a little bit. I was like, you might change your mind.
Now see, I read that totally different. I read that as her being like, I'm more committed. Like, I'm like, she had crazy eyes. Like, yeah, I need to get these bullets and I'm gonna get the hell up out of here, because she's like, basically, Maggie's in good hands. I'm good. I can leave her now. I'm okay with this. Like, you know, in her mind, that was a clear-headed decision, and nothing that wasn't swaying her, in my opinion, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so but she had this crazy look on her face, and she goes into Jesus's trailer, finds a book, opens a book, the book got bullets in it, and Jesus and Enid walk in on her, and she closes the book, but she can't put the book down. She's like a little kid when you walk in, catch a kid doing something they ain't supposed to.
She panicked. She was like, I got your word, people say your word cuts like a sword, like bullets, I don't know, and what am I supposed to do with this?
Right. She was like, I got your book, I just wanted to read something, I couldn't sleep. And Jesus like, girl, you know, I know them bullets in there. If you want the bullets, you can have it. And Jesus is like, I know Rosita, I saw Rosita, I know y'all playing. Don't do it.
I know everything. I'm omnipresent. I drew the map. I knew you were going.
Right.
I knew before you knew.
Right. He said, when you saw one set of footprints, that was me.
That was me.
He begged her to stay. Sasha said she's gonna go on this mission with Rosita, and that Jesus and Enid need to stay with the group, with Hilltop, because they got to look after Maggie, and Maggie needs them. And they were like, well, Maggie needs you and Rosita too. And she's like, I already made my mind up and y'all can't stop me. And Jesus is like, I can't force you to do anything you don't want to do. But you at least owe it to Maggie. You and Rosita owe it to Maggie to go talk to her and tell her what y'all plan on doing.
Right. Cause I believe in free will. Not gonna force you.
Right. He said, I'm gonna take on all y'all sins no matter what.
Right.
But y'all owe her that much. And then Jesus left. And then Sasha said to Enid, protect Maggie. And she gave Enid this raggedy ass bracelet, I think she was working on. Mm-hmm. That's not finished. And she said it was for the baby. And Enid took it. And then Enid was like crying and stuff and like, you need to stay and, you know, you were important too and we need you and all this shit. And then, Sasha's like, no, I'm leaving. And Enid said, well, in 10 minutes, I'm going to tell Maggie because solidarity is for white women. And she left.
Right. She was like, look, you on the clock. You got 10 minutes, bitch. Make it, do what you got to do, but I'm telling.
Underrated part of this show. Underrated part of this show. What do you do when some well-intentioned people want to do some shit you don't want them to do and you don't want to kill them? What do you do?
She was like, I will not hold this burden on my shoulders. I'm telling.
Yeah, I mean, like, can Jesus kill Sasha and Rosita? Mm-mm. That's not such an easy thing to do.
You know,
it really does bring back something that I know people hate them, but I'm gonna continue to harp on this idea because it's a really fucking good idea. It really brings me back to Morgan in that fucking cell. You need somewhere to put people that won't comply, but at the same time, you don't want to kill them.
Correct.
It's got to be another option than just killing people, because all I could think was, they need to tie Rosita and Sasha's ass up somewhere, throw them in a room and be like, you motherfucking out your mind. Y'all about to ruin everything. Y'all go out there and unsuccessfully try to kill them or get caught. You don't understand how many times we need to see these people have no roots. We have so many stories of matter of fact, Oceanside. Oceanside is a perfect example of a town that said they tried to buck up at the Saviors, and the Saviors came and killed every male over like 10 years old.
Right.
What the fuck are y'all thinking? You know, but that's just that ridiculousness, man. They got that mad on, and they don't care about the consequences. They're like, it's like when you shoot a bad jumper. If I make the shot, then it's not a bad shot.
Oh, it's still a bad shot, dog.
But you know what I mean? That's how they're looking at it. Like, right. if we kill Negan, then it was a good plan.
Right. And it's one of the things where kind of the quote unquote theme of it all, when people have been telling them, this is selfish, this is selfish, this is selfish, and nobody wants to hear that their shit is selfish because you're looking for revenge.
Right.
And everybody wants revenge. But the thing about it, if you want your revenge to be sweet, it has to be slow. It mm-hmm. has to be thought out. It has to be planned. You have to have a long game.
Yeah, it feels like their whole theme song should be The Big Payback. You know, I'm mad. Like, okay, we get it, dog.
Right. Jesus. And they're going to keep telling you, we ain't doing nothing. Well, we are doing shit, dog. Instead right. of you helping, you just keep screaming at everybody else that you mad. And we put like this, we all mad. It's like they don't understand everybody's mad. It's like their anger is the only anger that matters.
And that book full of bullets had about 17 different types of bullets. I know ain't no gun that shoot all 12 types of them bullets in that fucking thing. You still doing one bullet plans. You still got one bullet plans, man. So mm-hmm. dumb.
Right. And you know, and to me, particularly with the character Rosita, didn't you learn that if you fuck up, other people gonna pay, but you're so goddamn selfish that you don't even care.
We learned for a fact that she don't care.
Right.
Cause she don't care how many times she blamed fucking Gabe for that shit, you know, like she don't care. So right as Enid leaves to go snitch, they have a lookout who apparently sits at the top of the gate and looks to see who's coming and shit, and starts ringing his bell, and he's like, the Saviors are coming, the Saviors are coming. And everybody was like, oh shit, scramble, you know, gotta get ready, because you know Daryl's not supposed to be there. Maggie's supposed to be dead,
right?
So they gotta get hidden. And then Sasha and Rosita are leaving to go try to kill Negan. So they escape, Sasha and Rosita escape through a path, a tunnel that they dug after the last time the saviors attacked with all those zombies and fire and shit. Mm-hmm. So
an escape plan. So it's like they already had an escape, because once everything started going down, Maggie looked at Daryl like, we're too far, like we couldn't run far enough to even get to it, because I'm assuming that it's like on the far side in the cut, that it would be hard for them to even.
Well, looks like to be firewood,
right,
on top of a thing. I mean, it's just, you know. But it was something that Sasha built after Maggie said that they need a quick way out, because Maggie's always thinking. She's the fucking Hannibal of the A-Team for the Hilltop, you know? Mm. She's a great leader. What else? Oh, okay. And then they hide Daryl and Maggie in a cellar underneath, like, a house. And it basically turns into White Underground.
Yeah, it does.
You know, it's just a white version. It was funny because I guess they don't have a walkie-talkie in Hilltop, or they just didn't have it turned on, because they weren't listening out for the saviors to get the early warning system, you know?
I don't think that they have walkie-talkie. I think that that's with Rick and them.
Well, you're going to find out something in a second. Oh, by the time we get to the end.
Oh, my bad.
It's all right. But yeah, well,
at that time I thought it was with Rick.
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't have the walkie-talkie early warning system on. And maybe they didn't use it this time. I don't know.
Right. And it's one of the things too where they might have thought they didn't need it.
No, that's crazy. You definitely need it. You got
no,
two.
No, I'm talking about Maggie and them.
No. I'm saying Maggie and them in Hilltop. You have Maggie and Daryl there. If any place needs the early warning system that the saviors might be coming, Maggie and Daryl need that. Because those true. Are the people that need to be like, we can never be caught off guard, because if they show up and we don't get the early warning, they can walk right in and catch us out here whittling or some shit and kill us. So I think of all the places to have a walkie-talkie, that would be the place to have it. Now, maybe the saviors didn't even use it and they just showed up. You know, who knows? I'm just saying.
That's true. Okay, I just thought about something. That's
I'm not calling it a plot hole or nothing, but they didn't have it on. You know, and they do have a walkie-talkie, because at the end they turn on the walkie-talkie with it, Sasha and Rosita, and that's how they hear Eugene talking. So, and we'll get to that when we get to the end, but they had one and they know the savior's frequency, but for some reason the early warning system they decided to go with was a nigga standing on the fence about 5 feet so you get to know the saviors are here 30 seconds before they get here.
All right, no pre-planning.
Yeah, that seemed crazy to me. Anyway, Simon comes through and he's got apparently 57 motherfuckers with him again. It felt like they were deeper than last time. It was so many of them. And they came into the house, and Simon was like, look, I'm here, and this should be a quick version visit. And Gregory's like, oh, I got you some gin. You know, you said you're a gin man. Last time I had whatever brandy or some shit, you told me no. So I got gin for you. And then Simon goes, well, actually, I'm not a gin man anymore. Now I like tequila. I'm a creature of change of taste or something like that. And Gregory's like, oh, well, you know, I've got it locked in. I'll remember next time. Hey, tequila. Wow. And my thing isn't even that he won't remember. It's just that I think Simon is fucking with him. If he does have tequila next time, he'll be like, well, actually, now I'm into wine. Else, I don't right. know. So
you make margaritas. We don't have any salt.
Yeah, Simon is the worst party guest. He's the guy that shows up and always got a taste for the shit that y'all don't got on
right.
deck.
Y'all vegan? Nobody in here is vegan, dog.
Right. Oh well, I just switched to that today on the way over here. So right. this
I'm
party
a, I'm
sucks.
A, I'm a no meat person right now,
and I'm not gonna tip.
Right. This is the worst.
So then he says, well, this should be a quick visit if you just point me in the right direction. And he's like, well, what do you need? He was like, I'm looking for somebody. You have a certain somebody who needs to be Negan's certain somebody. and he says, "Now get your pointer finger up and I'll tell you who it is." And then they cut to the next scene, so you don't know who it is. Mm-hmm. Now at this point, who did you think it was?
Initially, I thought maybe they knew that Maggie or Daryl was there.
I thought the same thing. I was like, oh, Daryl, maybe. Because mm-hmm. And when he said Negan somebody, I was like, oh, it has to be Daryl, because Daryl was Negan's slave. So he's going to come back to slave him up again. No. But outside the fence, Rosita tries to hotwire a car. And then she sees, and they can't get it started for some reason. And then she sees Sasha comes through and says, "I'm gonna get some gas, siphon some gas from one of these cars, but I need a bottle." And Rosita's like, "Well, there's a bottle right here, in the floor deck." And Sasha goes to pick it up, and her necklace that she got from Abraham, made of like a bicycle signal mm-hmm. thing, it hangs off of her, and Rosita sees it and gets an attitude, and she's like, "You know, I made that, right?" And basically, it's the necklace Rosita gave to Abraham the day he broke up with her, the day that they first went to Hilltop, and Abraham almost died, and that's when he had his revelation that he didn't want to be with Rosita, and he was wasting his life. Life is for the living. So he was like, "Fuck it, I'm gonna go back and break up with her and get me a black woman and tell your mom I'm not coming home."
He gave her that phone call,
right? So that was basically how that shook out. And now Sasha has his necklace as the only thing she remembers Abe by, you know. And so Sasha
she didn't know,
right? And she tucked it into her shirt afterwards. It made me realize that Sasha and Rosita are basically Tara and Amina, if y'all watch Love and Hip Hop New York.
Oh.
Just fighting over this man. Somebody was like, don't compare Abraham to Peter. And I was like, you know what, dog? He needs to keep his mother dick in his pants if he don't want to be compared to Peter. Pouring all that Bisquick all over the place.
Oh.
Sasha asked how Rosita learned to disarm bombs, and then Rosita was just being a total asshole. Mm-hmm. Oh, what a dick, man. Like, the whole time she was just like, she was like them people that go on a Real World Road Rules challenge that be like, I'm not here to make friends, I'm here to win. Like, she was just being that to Sasha. Over like
dramatic.
Every woman that's ever had to deal with that bitch at work, that was what Rosita was doing. Just an attitude for no fucking reason.
No reason.
I'm not here to get to know you. We either talk about the mission or we don't. And Sasha started walking off like, well, fine then, we don't talk. And then she came back and was like, nah, okay, yeah. So what the plan is, I'm going to get a building close to Negan. I'm going to snipe that nigga and we're going to get the fuck out of there. And then Rosita was like, what if you miss him? What if you graze him? That's a dumb plan. We got to go in. We got to go in and get up close and kill him. And Sasha was like, first of all, I'm not going to miss, cause I'm the best shot. But then second of all, you know, with your plan, we going to end up dead basically. And Rosita basically like, and, you know, just getting more and more of an attitude about it. Mm-hmm. One of the favorite part of this argument was when they both did synchronized walker killing. Like two walkers walked up and they both stabbed it in the head the exact same way at the exact same time. And kept their argument going. Mm-hmm.
That's what women do.
Yeah, I guess so. Y'all synced up. She synced up. Their periods came at the same time. It was crazy, y'all. It was so crazy. But yeah, Rosita's intent on going in. And Sasha said, well, I'm gonna stop talking so maybe you can start thinking and start thinking about this dumbass plan. And then Hilltop, Enid tries to give a savior who's over by the cellar door where Maggie and Daryl are hiding. Mm-hmm. And they've now hidden themselves further back in the cellar behind like a stack of something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, back there with the potatoes.
With the potatoes, of course. And so Enid tries to get some vegetables to the dude to get him to move away from the cellar door.
Right.
And he's just being a dick. It's like everybody from the Saviors was part of Gamergate. They're just dicks for no reason. There's no need to be mean to this little girl, but Buddy was like, I'm gonna be mean. I can't help myself. I have to be a complete asshole to this little girl.
And give me your knife.
yeah, like, so she hands him the vegetable. She's like, yeah, I got some veggies. And then he was like, first of all, take your time. You can say the whole thing, vegetables. She was like, I have some vegetables and, you know, they told me to bring these to you and put them on the truck and, you know, but I had to go get some more. So you could do it. She hands it to him and then he takes it and he's like, I don't know who you think I am, little girl, or what they said about us, but I'm not carrying these vegetables. And then he like hands them back to her roughly and they fall on the ground. And he's like, now pick them up and don't do this. Like he's just being like fucking dick. He was like, what about the ethics in journalism? Huh, bitch?
I told you I don't care about her emails.
And that made him curious. And then he went to the cellar door and opened it up, looking to see what was inside. So, and then it cut away. But still, like, the plan backfired completely. Meanwhile, Simon goes into the Dr. Carson office that works in Hilltop. And we find out that he's the person that they want to become Negan's person because they killed his brother, the other Dr. Carson.
They love the doctor.
And they want this Dr. Carson to come to be the savior's doctors. Now, here's the thing that was interesting. The guy was like, well, why y'all want me there? Y'all already got a doctor. And then Simon had this pretty funny face of like, you can't tell I'm making this face. I'm making is saying we killed your brother, and he tells him, and then Harlan wasn't too broke up. Mm-mm. He was like, "Who'd he pissed off or something?" Like, it wasn't a damn. Y'all killed my only fucking brother, Mm-mm. and y'all just expect me to come with y'all and work there? Are you out of your motherfucking mind? What happened? Who killed him? Why? It was none of that. He was just like, he must have pissed off the wrong guy. I'll pack my stuff. What about my patients here? They need me. And he was like, well, too bad, you know.
You better get somebody else your charts.
Yeah, which I'm glad, because I thought he was going to fuck up and say something like, I got a pregnant patient. He's going to be like, who's that? You know, but he didn't fuck up that way.
Yeah, he's smarter than that. And the thing is, in my opinion, they filled in some holes. Him and his brother has probably been doctors for them for years. Mm. And it's one of those things where he knows his brother and, you know, they might not have got along that great, which is something that you know, might be behind the scenes shit that you don't need to fill us in on. So it's an understandable response,
I guess. I don't know. I mean,
I'm just assuming.
I assume they wasn't close because that nigga didn't break up at all. Like, damn.
Yeah.
I was like, what a terrible way to learn, you know? But they said, look, we're not going to leave you guys without any thing to help you out if somebody gets sick. And they said, go open up that box to Gregory. Gregory opens the box. I thought the dead corpse of this charred other Dr. Carson was going to be in there. Mm-hmm. But instead, it was a bunch of aspirin. So that's what they going to do. You know, when Maggie has to deliver that baby, just get her zooped up on aspirin and things will be okay. But yeah, they gave him a box of aspirin as a replacement for a doctor.
Mm-hmm. Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of a doctor, take 800 milligrams of this.
Right. So it gave him a bunch of aspirin. Just, you know.
Hope y'all don't get headaches.
Yeah. And Paul Ryan said this is a good plan and a good substitute for Dr. Carson.
Yep. I've been dreaming about getting rid of your coverage ever since the beginning of the Z-Pac.
Mm-hmm. And said, look, And Trump's America, this is the new Trump care, a box of aspirin. Good luck. Mm-hmm. Good luck with all your diseases, everybody. So then Gregory's like, man, can I speak to you outside? Basically to Simon. Simon takes it to the side. And they have essentially a discussion about Gregory saying, look, man, if you continue to come here, take shit from us, take my doctor, like, you're gonna make me look like such a weak leader that people gonna eventually try to overthrow me. I'm gonna lose out of my power. There's people already kind of thinking I'm weak. And Simon's like,
my spot, and they might not be so friendly.
Right. And Simon's like, well, you know what, man, that's a real problem, and I understand you're in quite a dilemma. So I tell you what, I'm gonna give you an IOU. And he took a sheet of paper out and wrote on it. It basically said, come to my compound anytime you want to talk to me and we'll work it out and I'll take care of any problems you have with people trying to take over the leadership of this community. And Gregory was like, well, you know, while we at it, can we keep it? It'll make me look better if I keep my doctor. And Simon was like, nope, and stop pushing it, basically.
Right. He was like, look, I can't come back with no doctor now. That'd be a problem.
Right. Now, in the cellar, the savior dude that was like a huge Gamergate dick to Enid, he's looking around trying to take shit. And he gets kind of close to Daryl and Maggie's hiding place, but he's not even looking over there. Mm-mm. And Daryl takes his knife and he's about to kill him, and Maggie pulls him back. Right. And then the guy like grabs a couple potatoes and walks out, and he doesn't discover them. And so it was kind of interesting because after the guy leaves, Maggie confronts Daryl like, what the fuck, man? You were gonna kill that dude.
And it was gonna be a problem.
Daryl was like, they all deserve to die, you know? Like, and she's like, yeah, but then you gonna bring down the whole hilltop. What's gonna happen when they find out he's missing? All this shit. I mean, it was just a stupid ass plan.
Right.
And she was like, look at me, Daryl. You haven't looked at me. You haven't talked to me since you even got here. What's wrong with you, basically? And then he starts crying because he felt really guilty about getting Glenn killed.
Right.
And she's like, it's not your fault. Let it go, baby. And I was like, it is his fault. But okay. I mean, you can't stay mad forever, I guess. Mm-mm. But she said, look, man, if you want to help me, don't help me by doing something stupid. Help us win. Like, help us come up with a way to take Negan down once and for all. Don't. This shit you was about to do is just stupid. And so after that, Simon and them leave, and Maggie and Sasha, Rosita and Sasha, mm-hmm. We cut to them, and they're basically, they do this elaborate, it was so dumb. They do this elaborate, like, set a fire in a car so they can climb over a fence and run to two cars and try to hotwire the car, see if they can get one to start. But I don't know if it's just the way that it was filmed or what, but it felt like they went through all that shit and they got about 10 extra seconds that they wouldn't have had. Like, it just felt like it didn't work. It was like the zombies walked towards the car, then as soon as they got off the fence, the zombies were like, oh no, people are over there, and they just turned around. I was like, who filmed this? Like, that wasn't that good of a zombie stunt this week. We didn't really have any cool zombie deaths. Mm-mm. This week. Sasha asked Rosita how the fuck did she learn to I think she asked her earlier how she learned how to disarm a bomb.
Yeah, they were talking about,
and that's when she got mad about, just stick to the mission, stop asking me questions, I came here to win.
Right.
So then later in this episode, after they get this car, they go hold up in a building that's right across from the Savior's compound. Mm-hmm. And Sasha's got a sniper rifle out, so they're trying to do Sasha's plan of sniping Negan from afar. And so they end up talking a little bit, and Sasha sees Eugene overseeing the pour the iron on the walkers on the fence plan, that building that wall.
He was out there supervising.
Right, and he didn't look like no hostage, you know. And she said, I saw Eugene out there, and Rosita's like, well, he's just playing some angle. Now my theory has always been, I think Eugene's not playing an angle. I absolutely believe he's like, I found my home.
I am Negan.
Right. Sasha asks if Rosita can teach her how to tie a certain type of knot. Rosita's like, why would I teach you to tie this knot? We about to die with this suicide pact. And Sasha's like, this shit might come in handy, you never know. And Rosita shows her the knot, and she kind of softens up on Sasha.
Mm-hmm. And you hear shoop, shoop, shoop.
Well, not yet. Not yet, Karen. You're running ahead of my.
I'm ahead of the game.
You're way ahead of my of what I'm talking about.
Okay? My bad.
So then, y'all off script, Karen.
My bad. I didn't read the cue card.
Nah, sorry. You know me too well. Anyway, so they start talking, and Rosita starts saying, basically, I learned all these skills that I have by fucking niggas.
Come on.
you know.
And once I was done, I moved on to the next one.
Yeah, she's like, I got niggas. Hey. She's like, I fucked this nigga named this, and he taught me this, and I learned how to drive, and I learned, like, she learned everything.
She went through the whole rap.
And she was like, and I was able to get some dick the whole time, so it was like, everybody should be getting their rocks off in the Z-Pock, am I right, girl, up top? And, Sasha was like, I know that's right, girl. And she was like, you know, these dudes would look at me through a, like, she is helpless and I need to protect her because she's beautiful and all this shit. And she was like, so I would let them. And I didn't know what I was doing at first, but then I started learning skills. And as I learned more skills, I would move on to the next one.
When I outgrew them, right?
Right. As soon as I outgrew them, I was on to the next one, on to the next one. And she was like, and the sex was just for fun. You know, I did an ATL orgy, like. I was just out there getting it in, but that was all for fun. But these skills, that's what I needed.
Right.
So then Sasha asked her, is that what happened with Abraham? And she was like, well, Abraham, we got to Alexandria. I just couldn't believe that he was all good, because I was just pretending to be all good. But I just didn't really, you know, she didn't believe in that place and the safety and all that it offered. Mm-hmm. And one day he just figured his shit out, which we all know is the day he went to Hilltop, almost died, had a vision, thought about how much he loved Sasha, came home, told Rosita, I'm moving the fuck out, moving in with Sasha. And, like, she didn't resent him for, like, hurting her or betraying her or whatever. I think it was quite obvious that Abe and Rosita did not have, like, this love connection type thing.
He didn't have the same love for her that she had for him.
Right. I just don't think that was a thing that happened. I'm not even sure she had love for him in that kind of way, especially when she was talking about it in this scene. Mm-hmm. I've always kind of wondered what her dysfunction was, because I was like, she didn't really seem like she loved that dude like that, but at the same time, she didn't seem unaffected. She seemed very angry.
Right.
And so we find out essentially in this scene what she was angry about was that Abe figured his shit out before she could and left her. So he did to her what she's done to so many other guys.
Right.
And that shit didn't sit with her, and she didn't like Sasha for a long time because of that. And then she was like, but I realized it wasn't even you. And it was stupid of me to waste so much time, and I never got to tell Abe, because of the way he died, that I was actually happy for him finding happiness.
Right.
And then they both kind of bond over the fact that, you know, Abe didn't need to go out like that. Some asshole with a bat killing him. Mm-hmm. You know, he was supposed to have a longer life, and it was pointless the way that he got killed. There has to be a point, was what the thing they said. And he died before it was his time. And Sasha says, no matter how this goes down, I got your back, to Rosita. And Rosita's like, and I got yours. And then Karen, that's when it started.
Everyone falls in love sometimes. Sometimes it's wrong, and sometimes it's right. For every win, someone must fail. But there comes a point when we exhale. Yeah, yeah. Say shoop.
So then they looked outside the window, with all the with the guns. They looked out with the scope, and they saw Negan came outside. And he only came out for like a second. He was like, the way the angle was, he was always close to somebody. Mm-hmm. They noticed Dr. Carson was there.
I think he purposely does that too.
You think he does?
Yeah, nigga's smart. I think that he's aware that people don't like him. I might be completely wrong, but I think that he's aware of certain things, so I think that he keeps people around him at all times just for bullshit like this. Like, just in case somebody feels like walking up and trying to snipe me, I'm going to be sure that I'm always in the vicinity of somebody else. Because we all are Negan, so they'll take the bullet for me without a problem.
Okay. I do not feel that way. I don't think they will take a bullet for Negan without a problem in a lot of these cases.
I mean, that's what he thinks, you know.
Yeah, well, I have more. Hold on. In addition to that, I also think it was just riding luck. I just don't think,
because
we've seen too many scenes where he isn't around people.
That's true.
And he's out there swagger jacking with his motherfucking bat and talking shit and, you know, goes to other people's compounds with no gun or whatever. We've seen him just be like, if somebody wanted to snipe him from someplace, he'd be dead, but he just don't. He doesn't seem like a planner like that. He's very impulsive. I think he just thinks nobody would take a shot at me. You know? I mean, look, he damn sure didn't see motherfucking Rosita getting ready to pull that gun on him when he killed Spencer.
He just got
lucked out because his back just happened to hit Lucille. So, like, I don't know, man. I personally don't think he was.
Okay.
I think he has 57 fucking henchmen. And it's hard to get a clean shot on a nigga that's got 57 henchmen and hugging Eugene and shit. And, you know, that was the other thing. They want to shoot Eugene, you know, of all the people. So Sasha couldn't get the shot. And Negan basically goes back in. And they're like, okay, well, turn on, the walkie talkie. And they do. And you hear Eugene's voice, which was hilarious. I actually typed all this out because it was so good. Hold on. This is Dr. Eugene Porter, chief engineer speaking. I'm going to need a dozen walkers, aka dead ones, in the local parlance for expanding defense protocol PDQ. Actually, PFQ. This is per Negan, who I also am. Even if it takes all night to procure them. So any able-bodied person, I need able-bodied people in the surrounding blocks of buildings looking for snooping and snatching stat. Negan will be indisposed in the boudoir. So in the meantime, any questions should be directed to yours truly, Dr. Eugene Porter, chief engineer, also known as Negan, who I am. I fucking died.
Also known as Negan,
look,
who I am.
Double meaning. I don't know if there is a word for a white man being a coon. But this nigga Eugene,
yes, Eugene,
and the actor be cooning. God, they cooning
so good.
He sold out quicker than Steve Harvey. I've never seen a motherfucker sell out this hard on anything before. God, he's so good.
Yeah, he's like, I want you to know, I am here, 100% here. He was like, look, I am not here for the games. I am Negan. Just in case you forgot,
listen. Oh my God, Negan, who I also am. God!
Who I also am.
He is the fucking best.
Yes, he is.
Or aka dead ones in the local parlance. Oh, God, give that man a fucking Emmy.
Right.
At least a nomination.
Right, his hair already say, what'd they say, series in the front and party in the back?
Something like that.
I don't know how that saying
business goes. In the front, party in the rear.
Yeah.
There you go. Serious in the front, party in the back.
I didn't know.
Hold on.
Business is serious to some people.
Mm-hmm.
I know somebody, someone listening, shaking their head going, she fucked it all up.
It's all right. It was close.
It was almost don't count, but it was close.
Business is serious to some. All right, anyway, so after that happens, Maggie and Sasha decide to go inside on their own. Jesus confronts Gregory back in Hilltop about his lack of scavenging. No, I'm sorry. Jesus is invited to Gregory's office. Gregory is like, Jesus, you ain't been scavenging. You ain't been recruiting. You got all these new people in here. You got too many people living in your trailer. You need to split that shit up. Also, these newcomers that you recruited, they need to get jobs. I got these lists. It's time for people to start pulling their weight. And Jesus laid back and really peeped his plan and was like, I'm surprised you didn't kneel today when Simon came.
Mm-hmm.
And it took you a while, but I figured you would try to split everybody up. And Gregory's all, why I never,
right,
you know.
Because one thing about Jesus is that
he knows your heart.
That, and he pays attention.
Yes, he sees it all, Karen. He's everywhere.
He really is.
Amen.
The whole time that they were, when they were doing their montage at the beginning, this nigga was in the house, peeking around corners, peeking through blinds. He wasn't involved, so this is his quote unquote way of getting involved. So when shit happened, he can stay on top of it.
Someone asked a question.
Mom.
Yeah, Jesus was there.
He's seen it all.
And but yeah, Jesus was like, man, I peep game. And then Gregory was like, well, it'd be a shame if something happened to you when these saviors come through. And he's like, are you threatening me? Is that a threat? And he was like, nah, it's just, you know, I realized that I need to have more friends to have my back, and some people ain't my friends, and you ain't my friend.
Yeah, he's looking like, do you threatening the Son of God, dog?
Mm-hmm. And then, this other dude came in with some tequila, and Gregory was like, cool, tequila. Hook me up with some of that tequila, homeboy.
God, beat it, Jesus.
Jesus, you get the hell out of here. Right. While I go get my 30 pieces of silver. And, aww. Mm-hmm. And then when Jesus was leaving the office, Daryl came busting through and was like, hey, you seen Sasha and Rosita? And they didn't show Jesus answering the question, but Daryl did have his crossbow with him. In the Savior compound, Eugene was talking to a dude about doing security, and the dude was like, well, that's why they got me out here, because I know how to do security the right way. And they go up to the fence where Eugene oversaw the metal dead ones, the pouring molten metal onto the dead ones to keep them attached to the fence, keep them from falling out. When they go over there, the dude is like, well, you know, that's why they got me on security, because I know what I'm doing. And then he got hit silenced bullet, a silenced shot right in his fucking face.
He went down.
Eugene started cowering like the coward he is, of course.
Right.
And
he wasn't ready.
Right.
He didn't have a gun.
And Sasha and Rosita ran up on the fence, and they was like, hey, get ready, you coming with us. And Rosita was like, we're getting you out of here. And Eugene was like, I don't want to go. I'm gonna stay here. And he was like, you shouldn't have came.
Right.
And
ran his ass off.
He said he's not coming with them, and that they need to leave because the people gonna be en route. And then he ran inside. And then Rosita and Sasha was like, well, fuck it, we gotta cut open the fence and get inside anyway. Rosita called him a coward. She was mad at him. And he ran inside the door. You could just see him like, Negan the good master.
You didn't hear his message. He was Negan. They thought he was bullshitting.
Playing an angle, right?
Right.
What if the angle is subservience? So Sasha starts working on the fence to make a hole. And, she tells Rosita to look out. Rosita turns around, looking out to see if anyone's coming. And then Sasha's like, all right, just one more second. And then she gets in the hole in the fence, and then she uses a bike lock to lock the fence behind her. Mm-hmm. And Rosita's like, what the fuck you doing? Let me in.
Yeah.
And Sasha's like, no, I'm going. You gotta leave. You gotta live. It's not your time. There's gotta be a point to it, right? That's what we said. We need you. And I'm gonna be on Star Trek. And then she ran off. And
yeah, I'm about to be in galaxies far, far away. I'm not gonna be here no more.
She ran off, and Rosita ran the other way because a whole bunch of men were coming. And while she was running, she saw the silhouette of a man with a crossbow, and that was the end of the episode. Mm-hmm. Who do you think the man with the crossbow is, Karen?
I honestly think it's
Daryl. That is Daryl. Mm-hmm. You think it's Daryl?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Dwight. Because Dwight got Daryl crossbow.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Daryl got there that fast.
Because that was really fast.
Unless they fucking with the time again, I don't know how he would get there from asking Jesus that question to being in the compound, yeah, like being there in that plan, you know?
When he asked Jesus, it was daytime. When they was doing this shit, it was nighttime.
So you think maybe they were fucking with the time. I mean, they could have done that to make us feel like it could be either one of them, but I think it's going to be Dwight, and I think this is their look guys, Dwight is turned. He, you know, he's not with Negan no more. To which I'm still gonna be like, man, fuck Dwight. Give a fuck about no goddamn Dwight. Fuck Dwight. Fuck everything he stand for. He's a piece of shit to me, and he will forever remain a huge turd.
Fuck you! Fuck you! And fuck you! Who's next?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. Rosita not gonna buy it either.
I hope she put a bullet in his fucking head.
She might.
But knowing his ass, I mean, maybe they had to combine to get Sasha out of capture or something. I don't know.
I think she did.
Alright, we got some emails. See if we can do these. Day Walking by Turk. Hey guys, I hate to cuss, but god damn you, Sasha. God damn it. In my letter a few weeks ago, I said they were bringing Cindy to the maintain the black girl quota, and unfortunately, it looks like I'm right. Hell, I'm afraid for, now Cindy, of course, is the girl from, Ocean, what's the name of Oceanside?
Yeah.
Who befriended Tara.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. She's like some type of brown.
She's beautiful, but go ahead.
She says, hell, I'm afraid for Jerry now as well, because they may be using Cindy for the Asian and black quota. We know Jerry doesn't know when to keep his mouth shut, so he may be dead by the end of the season. Aww. Along with Sasha. Damn. Well, also, you know, they had that Asian dude that brought the tequila, so I don't know. That diversity. Obviously Sasha and Rosita have never watched The Wire. Omar used to watch people for days before making his move. Right. They ain't even case the joint. They was there for like 5 minutes, like, let's go, we got a map. Sasha and Rosita probably didn't even wait an hour to see if they could get an opportunity for a better shot. Sucks, because tactically using the building surrounding the Savior's compound would have been a brilliant military strategy for a second line of defense to support the JAKHO army if it ever stormed the compound.
That, and it had a easier getaway.
Mm-hmm. I guess JKHO army is the Junkticons, Alexandria Hilltop Kingdom Army. Oh, and the O is Oceanside. Okay. Cool. I can't believe I figured that out. But yeah, you couldn't tell Sasha and Rosita shit when they got together. They was like, set it off, you know. Y'all remember Set It Off? Like Queen, I don't think missing was Queen Latifah cornrows.
Come on.
And some hot lesbian sex. Sasha, Rosita, and Richard have shown us the suicidal people are a major liability. Yeah, people that give up and decide like, hey, fuck it, you know, they often cause problems. And I think you even left out Aaron, the buddy that was with Glenn. On the fucking, he caused a whole bunch of problems.
Yes,
yeah, when people start taking themselves out, man, they just don't give a fuck. Eugene was right to tell those fools to leave, because the first place the Saviors will look for him is in Alexandria. Mm-hmm. That place can't afford any more scrutiny, because all it will take is a poorly timed visit to expose the JAKHO alliance and force a fight between, when the groups aren't really ready. Peace, Turk. Those are some good thoughts, man. And yeah, that's the thing I think people forget about Sasha. And I feel like, whether people like it or not, because, you know, we do want to hold on to all the black characters. That's an impulse a lot of, you know, you guys have. I mean, I don't really have that impulse. I'm more of a, if they die, they die, motherfucker. Like, I try not to get too attached to many characters. Occasionally I do, but for the most part, I'm like, yeah, anybody can get it, because I don't want to have my heart hurt no more.
Yeah, I even care about Morgan, but yeah, I'm mm-hmm. like, if he dies, I understand.
Right. When it comes to the black characters on here, not me, you won't catch
me. Come on, so calling them thugs, just call them niggas. Just call them niggas.
I'll just call them niggas. Thank
you.
Oh,
Lord, what the hell wrong with you?
Walking Dead feedback from Fireman. But yeah, I don't get attached to it, so Sasha, what people forgot is Sasha used to be crazy. I keep saying this shit. She slept on a bed of zombies. She tried to shoot Gabriel.
She was insane.
She ain't that far back from that. Like, losing Bob and then losing Abraham, look, sometimes it'll drive you crazy. I seen a scene where she was reading a Steve Harvey book and some Tyrese. Like, she's like, why can't I find a man in the Z-Pac? Why don't nobody want me? Fireman says, hey Rod, Empress Karen and esteemed guests if applicable. And I listen to the other recast of The Walking Dead, but I always look forward to the Blackout Tip song. It's absolutely the best. Thank you.
Thank you, baby. A few thoughts.
Ever notice Simon roll deep when going to the hilltop with like 100 armed niggas, right? Where they get all them extras from? No women either. Especially when he goes to see Gregory. But the dude who got to see Zeke has a measly 5 people with him. Why do you think that is, right? Like, that nigga comes up there with show enoughs, like, 4 people and shit.
He's not that important. I told you, like, the other dude is the regional manager. He just got a store. They was like, you just got a store.
Right, he manages the kiosk.
Right, they're like, you're gonna take these 5 employees and you gonna let it do what it do. But me, I get to roll, deep.
So, number 2, do you think Eugene is really Team Negan, or he cooking up something for the big war? I don't know what's wrong with y'all, and I'm gonna be motherfucking surprised, and it'll be the best writing in the world if Eugene is not the sucker ass nigga I think he is.
Oh, he fooled.
They have built this character as a coward and a liar and a guy who just needs safety for so long. I don't know what y'all see in him to make you think he is capable of plotting something that will actually take over the saviors or stop them somehow or help the other crew. He just don't seem to be the type, you know. I think that nigga gets to fucking the savior's compound and
come on.
That's his fucking alarm, dog.
Come on, when he wake up in the morning and smack it, that's what it's playing. Mm-hmm.
And he never hits snooze. He wakes up on time.
Yeah, dude. He was up before it comes on.
He says, love the show, premium and freemium. Of course, the recap. Keep up the great, keep on keeping on. One love, Fireman. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Tanya writes in, I hope I pronounced that right, Tonya. Dear Rod and Karen, what are your thoughts regarding the fate of Sasha? I think Negan may perceive her as a strong and fearless fighter who could potentially join the Saviors, or she'll be forced to join Negan's wife club. Either way, this is a very messed up situation. I don't know, because I think they're going to kill her somehow. Because I think the actress is going away, and you can't have Sonequa Martin-Green forever. This is just real life getting in the way. I'm sure they would love to keep her, but I mean, you don't turn down that CBS Star Trek bid. I mean, you're gonna be the star. Shit, I might fuck around and pay that $14 for a month to see if I can binge that shit. I mean, I want to support my black lady. Mm-hmm. I think they're gonna kill her somehow. My guess is with this show, we'll either get like Negan will kill her, maybe with the bat, or maybe Eugene will slip her that poison that he made to kill Negan. Y'all remember that? Mm-hmm. Like if she gets in custody, what, Karen?
Go ahead.
I don't think she'll get an offer to be his wife necessarily, because mm-hmm. I think maybe, you know, his ass, he'll say it, but I don't think she would accept that. And then I also don't think that's how that wife thing works. And as convenient as the writing is, I love, quote unquote, that they've written in that this character, like, I don't believe in rape and shit. So I'm not as concerned with the, like, shit from the comic books with the governor happening to anybody.
Nah.
Yes, it's a contrived way to, like, to pretend to address it, even though if you tell a motherfucker the only way you gonna get food and medical expenses to fuck me, I don't know what you would call that. I wouldn't exactly call that consensual, all that wife shit that you got going on either. I'm burning niggas' faces and shit. Like, anyway, point being, I don't think it'll be as fucked up as the comic books could mm-hmm. be, but I do expect her to die. Karen, what were you going
to
say?
Oh, I was about to say, I might be wrong, but I think she died right there. Like,
oh, you think she already dead?
Right. I think when she walked in, they were shots fired. Like, it was shots fired. And I don't know if she shot the shots, because they didn't show who shot the shots. So I don't know if she shot the shots or if they shot the shots, because Eugene told them that the people's on their way.
If they do that, I'm gonna be pissed. You cannot kill her off screen. That's bullshit.
I don't.
They better not do that. If we come back next week and it's just she dead, that's it. She just laying on the ground. nah, fuck that. I mean, she said she was going out like a motherfucking G. At least give her the decency to catch some slugs on the air. Like,
that's true.
It is what it is. And I don't want it to be no questions and ifs, ands, or buts about it. This ain't like with Heath, when everybody knew that 24 probably gonna fail, and this way we can give him a chance where we won't kill him, right. but he might come back. Right. Like, with her, you know, I feel like if they gonna kill her, you know? You know, or at least give us some finality to it. Like, even if it's, we're gonna lock her up in a cell, I'll take that even, as long as there's like some sort of like conclusion, like we know what's happening with her. I definitely don't want to see them do some shit like kill her off screen and just come back, because we're probably not gonna find out what happens to her next week anyway. Mm-mm. So it's probably gonna be 2 weeks from now when we find out what the fuck even happened, and it better not be she got killed as soon as she walked in that damn door. That better not be the motherfucking answer. Wish a nigga would. Sasha and Rosita have only made things worse. It's highly possible that Negan will begin to think that Rick's group is retaliating and plotting against them. And we know that's a big no-no. Someone will have to go. This will be the third assassination attempt on Negan by a member of Rick's group. I'm sure Negan is feeling a certain type of way about Rick's group at this point. The consequences are going to be bad for Rick's group. Have a good, beautiful day. Thank you. You know what my question is? Why does this not happen all the time with the Saviors? Like, is Rick's group really the first people they ran across? It's like, nigga, we about it. Cause it seemed like motherfuckers should really be like running up in the compound every day. Cause they done fucked with so many people. It should just be random motherfuckers running through shooting.
That's true. But I also think that fear is powerful, and particularly just the way the world has turned. Fear is powerful. And a lot of times when Negan shows up, he always makes a huge point and does a big exhibit for everybody to see. And none of these groups are actually trying to work with each other. If they would get together like Rick trying to do, something could happen.
Well, I'm not talking about working together. I'm saying, because Rosita and Sasha not working with nobody. They just running up in there, set it off, right? Just guns are blazing. I'm just surprised that doesn't happen more often, where he done fucked with people so bad, killed they loved ones. Some people just are like, man, I don't give a fuck. Like, there was no women in Oceanside that was like, yeah, he killed my husband and my son. I really don't give a fuck about coming up here to live and eat fish, guys. I just need two of them guns, and I'm gonna go try my lottery pick, you know? I'm just saying, I'm surprised that it's not more chaos in the Saviors compound, because he's so evil, you know? I mean, I shouldn't say I'm surprised. It just tells you how tough our group is. Like, Rick's group is just some tough motherfuckers. Like, mm-hmm. They look like I said, like a Benetton ad, they will kill the fuck out of you, including Judith. They don't give a fuck.
Yeah, and also I think too, you have to have a fight. And when Negan comes in and do these big displays, most people are like, oh, fuck it. I'm not fighting you. I'm not going against that.
You have to be willing to die, but I'm saying he killed so many people. There's got to be people that are willing to die by now. If he killed your son and your husband at Oceanside, one or two of them women going to be like, I got a gun. Why the fuck I need y'all?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
They haven't showed it, but yeah, it wouldn't be surprising. Yeah. If, like you say, if more people would do that, and they just turn around and bring them back and be like, look, don't show your asses up here.
That would be a cool thing to add to the show, but mm-hmm. They probably never thought of it, but because they think it probably will chip away at making Negan look weak. But I think it will actually look cool if they would have had a couple assassination attempts on him outside of Alexandrian, mm-hmm. outside of Rosita and shit, you know, just people that was like, he did this to my family, and maybe he kills them or whatever. But the thing is, we learn like, oh, this dude, like, there are consequences for how he acts. He just don't give a fuck.
Right.
Walking Dead feedback from Evie. This is the last one. Hi, Rod and Karen. Sasha has the patience of a saint, because I don't know how she didn't knock Rosita the fuck out. Rosita was tap dancing on my last nerve, but she has been all season. Fuck her. If I were Sasha, I would have been petty when Rosita pointed out that necklace and said, thanks for the gift. I would have told her that Abe said, your coochie stinks. There's no way I would have left any of her mess slide, no matter how guilty I felt. And I feel she has gotten someone else killed. But I'll say this, man. Sasha does have a patience, cause she's a beast with that. I don't know how she didn't just turn around and go, well, kill him by yourself then. Bye. You know, you came and recruited me for my gun, and then you hear your ass go talking this shit. You don't listen to my plan. Fuck you. But they ended up healing, and through the power of healing.
Everyone falls in love sometime.
It worked out. As for Eugene, I was so disappointed, but I'm still holding out hope that he can be redeemed. What is wrong with y'all? You know what?
Y'all, he is Negan.
In all fairness, maybe it's my, in Trump's America, maybe I'm just fed up with white people.
Oh, Lord.
I'm not trying to save him. I ain't trying to save the white. I don't want nobody to be redeemed. I hope they all catch slugs. All of them can die. Fuck it. If you're not with the mission, you expendable to me. I don't want no wavering, flip-flopping ass nigga to be my friend. Oh, I can help you, maybe. Nah, you gonna say that shit when we got guns to your face. Fuck you, Eugene. Can't trust you for shit. He still hasn't gotten rid of those pills, as far as we know. I just hope Negan doesn't start making him produce bullets, because that would suck for Team Alexandria. Yeah, I'm surprised. I guess they got enough bullets. They don't want him to do it. I felt bad for Daryl carrying around all that guilt for what he did, even though the only one to blame was Negan. That was a tender moment. It was really sweet of Maggie to tell him that she didn't blame him, although I'm not sure how much that helped. That dick who was up in Ena's face needs to die a horrible death. Yeah, me, I agree. They always act creepy towards Ena. These saviors are truly Trump supporters, every single one of them. Yuck, I agree. Oh. They all voted for him. What happened to the woman saviors? Oh wait, they were Negan. Never mind. Mm-hmm. I'm not happy to see Sasha might be going out in the next couple episodes, but I'm happy that we're finally going to the fighting part. Coming to the fighting part. The Oceanside episode next week should be lit. EVE. Yeah, I'm looking forward to them coming up on Oceanside. I want to see if they let the chopper spray on them before they even get close or what, because they got to figure out how the fuck they gonna make that work. Because them ladies are not looking too friendly. Man, this is a fast recap. All right, guys, that's it for this week. We'll be back with the feedback show on Saturday. Of course, the Nerd Off will actually be Friday. You know, that's gonna keep going. And
I did the balls deep.
I did This Too Much yesterday. I mean, I've been podcasting a lot, y'all, and you know,
sometimes you podcast about every day.
Sometimes I do, multiple times a day. But you know what, guys? You guys are worth it.
Yes, you are.
And I hope Premium feels like it's worth it. And like I said, we'll be back Saturday with the feedback. And what else was I going to say? I cannot remember what else I was going to say. We'll be back Saturday with the feedback. So until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.